Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. 119. And for those of you that may be visiting or perhaps joining us online for the first time, on Sunday evenings since December of 2020, we've been going through Psalm 119. Verse by verse, if you will, line upon line, precept upon precept, and working through here. We are in this section, just a little bit about Psalm 119. It's divided up by each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And actually, in the Hebrew text, each verse starts with that letter in there. And that's an interesting study there. But this is the Hebrew letter Resh. Beginning in verse 153 through 160. You say, how much longer are you going to be doing this, Pastor Combs? We only have three sections left. We're on our last. We have two more after this, and we're working our way through. So we're actually almost done. So if you'll hang on, we have the couple of Hebrew letters left. The letter Shin and the letter Tau are the ones that are left in our study after this one. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able, we're going to be going through this. We're going to read together these eight verses, verses 153 through 160. Let's begin together in verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Just a quick review in verse 153, David asked God to consider his affliction and deliver him. Because David said, hey, God, I'm worthy. I do not forget thy law. You should at least hear my case. Right? At least consider. And deliver me. And then he goes on and says, plead my cause. So he's getting a little bit further into it. And he says, hey, Lord, I'm not going to forget your law. And I don't forget your law. And I want you to quicken me according to your word. And please plead my cause and deliver me. Aren't you glad that God is our advocate? God's on our side. Amen. And listen, the Lord loves the righteous and he hates the wicked. We understand those things. And then he says further on in verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked. Just for one reason. Did you know that anyone that's wicked can turn to God? And anyone that's wicked can come to salvation. You say, how do you know? Because I did. Come on now. And didn't you at one time realize that you were lost and undone? That you were without hope? That you were not deserving of salvation or of heaven or of anything, and you turn to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, save me. Remember those times? And before that, what were we? Wicked. Wicked. So why do these not deserve salvation? Because they seek not thy statutes. They don't want to be saved. They're not looking for salvation. They don't want to change. They don't want their deeds to be reproved. They just think that we read a few passages of scripture last week that listen, they don't even like to retain God in their minds. They don't even want to think about it. So David's going through and we're rolling through these verse by verse, and we come to verse 156. And I want to just stop after this first word. And just love on God a little bit. Is that okay? Great. Who or what but God could be really considered great? I mean, we tell our husbands, if you're smart, you'll tell your wife, great lunch, dear.
right?
No, okay, maybe not. I'm just going to go away. Okay, guys, I'm trying to help you out here. I mean, right? We'll maybe watch a movie or something of entertainment. We'll say, that was good. Or if you're a Frosted Flakes fan, they're great. Right? Did I do the Tony Tiger pretty good? All right. Yeah, I mean, come on. We think things are great. Well, and we have a level of greatness, right, that we think things attain to. But really, when compared to God, what else can you say? I mean, doesn't he take the cake? You say, stop talking about, you're talking about pizza. Now you're talking about cake. Leave us alone. Okay, man, this is a tough crowd tonight. Good. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Do y'all like scripture songs? Who likes to sing?
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King.
Y'all know that scripture song? If you don't, that's a good one, amen? That's Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. You know, it's First Chronicles. They're told, the children of Israel, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. You know what God likes? God likes to be told He's great. He does. He's a jealous God, right? He's the one deserving of glory and honor and praise. In First Chronicles 16, I just said, they're told to sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I mean, David just says great. And when I read that word great, I just thought of God and how great He is. In Psalm 145, David says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Oh, wow. His greatness is unsearchable. I mean, how many times have you just sat and thought about the greatness of God? I mean, it just ought to go, just blow your mind. You should have just a little nuclear meltdown in your little power plant there. And it's just not happen. Because God is great. So great. If you looked at the definition in the dictionary of great, there's a picture of God. That's how it should be. You say, what does He look like? I want to look at it. Come on now, right? Great. God is great. Psalm 25, David says, remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. You know, one of the things that makes God great, and it was alluded by this to us by the psalmist, is his loving kindness and tender mercies. Have you ever fathomed how merciful God is? And even the Bible tells us he is of great mercy. Great mercy. So David says, I'm trying to connect the dots for you. He says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. David was not afraid to tell God, vivify, quicken, make me alive according to thy judgments, because great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. You know, we do not have to be afraid of God. We should fear God. You don't have to be afraid of God. I'm shaking in my boots. No, we're not scared of God. Or is it down here in the South, us scared, right? We're not scared of God. We're not scared of God, but rather we should fear God, that holy reverence that's due someone who is great because of his tender mercies, his merciful kindness, his loving kindnesses, his tender mercies are everlasting. In Psalm 40, David said, I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You know, David, even after his sin, acknowledged after being confronted by Nathan the prophet. He said, this is a psalm of David in Psalm 51, when Nathan came unto him after his sin with Bathsheba. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David says, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. In Psalm 69, David said, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. And then in Psalm 79, David says, O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Are we not his people, called by his name? Are we not ambassadors for Christ? Are we not a representative of God, our Father? Are we? We should want to be clean. We should want to be holy. We should want to be cleansed. We should want to be forgiven of our sins for His name's sake, to be a testimony in this world. David says, great are Thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me, vivify, make alive again, according to Thy judgment. He just got done saying, consider mine affliction, plead my cause. Salvation is far from the wicked. He says, O Lord, make me alive again. Renew me. Open me up. He says, great are Thy tender mercies, O Lord. Don't forget how great God is. Don't forget how merciful God is. Don't forget how long-suffering God is. Don't forget how full of compassion, gracious, slow to anger, and of great mercy God is. The Lord is great. His tender mercies are great. They're great. Even better than frosted flakes. Right? Amen. Look at verse 157. David says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from Thy testimonies. In a previous section, we studied this out a little bit because he said something quite similar. But I just want to rehearse the idea that the world's against us, folks. And it's okay. Did you know that? Many are our persecutors. And that's okay. Our enemies are all about us. And that's okay. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? They're everywhere. And it is okay. It's okay. You say, isn't it a bad thing for us to be surrounded by the enemy and us to be oppressed and persecuted on every side, round about? No. I'm not worried about it, are you? I mean, don't we know we win in the end? Have you read this book? I read the last chapter. I'm one of those guys that starts to read a book and then I kind of skip to the end because I want to see what happens. How many of you read like that? Okay. Yeah, okay. You shouldn't do that, but I do. I've read the whole thing. But I've read the end lots of times, right? I just want you to be assured of that. I have read this book several times through. But listen to me. We ought to know this is not a problem. He says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies. And I don't think that David's saying here, God, I'm a little concerned about this. I'm a little unnerved. I'm a little worried about this. I'm going to dig my foxhole a little deeper here. And maybe put a cover over it. It's not a sense of I'm afraid. But he just says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from Thy testimonies. In other words, God, even though there's so many of them, they outnumber me, but I'm going to be the one that doesn't move. I'm going to be the one that stands firm. Hey, I sought for a man among them, right? To fill in the gap, make up the hedge. What do you say? I found none. Some of you know that verse. Good. I found none. I want to be one. He says, many are my persecutors. Many are mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from my testimonies. Hey, listen, folks. The world is pressing on us. Did you know we're all hate criminals? Because we believe this book. Because this book says that God created man and woman. Oh, you can't say that. Watch me. Sorry. God says that there are things that are an abomination. And that doesn't change with the times. And God did create Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. It didn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way. Pastor, you can't say those things. They'll kick you off Facebook. I don't care. Let them. Yet, do not I decline from thy testimonies. What happened to let God be true and every man a liar? What happened? We're going to obey God rather than man. Listen, folks, we need to take a stand. Stand in the evil day. Doesn't it say that in Ephesians? And having done all to stand? We need some yet Christians. Hey, persecutors are everywhere. Our enemies, they're all around us. They're closing in. Oh. No, yet. I'm not going to decline. I'm not going to give in these last days. David said in Psalm 25, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Psalm 56, 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. You know, in this day and time, we don't just have to deal with those that are without. Sometimes we have to deal with those that are within. We need to stand. And be the yet kind of Christians that we ought to be. Yet do not I decline from thy testimonies. Right there in Philippians 3, look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are all the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What's Paul say? Yet, hey, persecutors, they're out there. Enemies, they're out there. Yet, do I not decline from thy testimonies? Remember John 15? Jesus said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Hey folks, just know this is coming. The persecutors are many. The enemies are many. I love what it says in 1 John 3. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. It's supposed to. Listen, if the world loves you, there's something wrong with your life. You should be intrigued by that and say, what's the matter with me? We should be peculiar. If you will, we should be hated. Jesus himself said it. They're not hating you. They're hating me. And if I'm in you, that's why they hate you. It's not you. You're not that special. I am. In Matthew 24, the disciples were asking about the end times. It says, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. It's okay. Oh, the persecutors are out there. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from my testimonies. One more word of encouragement. In Luke 6, it says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day. Oh, I love this. And leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's okay. Persecution, it's okay. Enemies, it's okay. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Turn back to Psalm 119. Let's look at our last verse for this evening. Verse 158. David continues on this idea about the enemies and the persecutors. And he says this, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. You know, I was thinking about this statement. What was it really that grieved the heart of the psalmist? Was it that the transgressors, that people were sinning? Was it their sin? Or was it their lack of respect for the Word of God? I tend to think the latter. That it wasn't necessarily the evil and the wickedness and the lies and the deception and all of those types of things. I mean, because that'll get you down, obviously. I understand that. But I think he was so in love with the Word of God. And loved it so much. And it just was his life and his breath and his necessary food and all in all to him. That when somebody dared and even thought about breaking it, just tore him up. How about that? Do you feel that way? Are you so in love with the Word of God and so in tune with God's statutes and precepts and commandments and testimonies and all of these things, His judgments, that the very transgressing of them grieves you? What a question. Oh how
I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
We're in scripture song mode tonight. Oh how
I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Refrain my lips from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word.
Okay. My kids know. We sang these at the beginning of school each day in Trinity. But I mean, that's the sense I get from this verse. I mean, people doing wrong, I mean, it should bother you. But my question is, why does it bother you? Is it the wrongdoing? Or is it the very breaking of the Word of God that you love? In Jeremiah, if you just read through Jeremiah and Lamentations, you ought to just weep. I mean, this man, I mean, what he went through is unfathomable. As you go through the week, that's really the thought I wanted to hammer home, was not just the sin that grieves us, but the very breaking of the law of God ought to bother you because of your love for it. Not because of what they're doing. See, I don't think it had anything to do with them. But I think it had to do with David's relationship with the Word of God. And that's why it bothered him. And so I want you to consider your heart. Consider your thoughts. Consider how you treat the Word of God. And know it. And follow it. And love it. And read it, and are in awe of it in your life. That's how we ought to think about this thing. So, just in quick review, to say that it says in the Bible, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies. Yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors, and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Think on those things.